I want to thank you all for being here. This has been a wild day. This has been a really wild day. So I was in New York. We had a tremendous crowd at Trump Tower, packed. In fact, they had to lock the doors. There were so many people standing outside on Fifth Avenue. I guess we had over 5,000 people and people outside trying to get in. And there's something going on. There's something going on. Because they look, and you look at this crowd, they look and see what's happening with our country. And I thought that what we're due tonight is we'll talk for a few minutes, and then we do, and Chuck loved this idea, we'll do questions. We'll make it a town hall. Does that sound good? Okay? Because, you know, I got very good reviews on the speech I made today, but, you know, honestly, you don't want to hear a speech. You want to hear, like, let's get some questions. Because, and I'd like to do that. To me, that would be fun, especially from you folks. Because, you know, they talk about the people of Iowa. And the people of Iowa, they're hardworking people. That's how we define them, that love the country. They love the country. So I love being here. I've been here a lot lately. I mean, I've been here. I've made a lot of friends. I had friends before I even started this whole thing from the area. But it's a great area. It's a vibrant area. It's just amazing people. And they really have. These are people that made the country great. This is where it begins. So I want to thank you very much. Now, we have some interesting things. I was here last week, and I was here about 3 weeks ago. And I made this statement. You know, I was very disappointed that our last candidate didn't bring it home. Does that make sense? Didn't bring it home. So something happened. Something happened with Mitt, and it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. And for some reason, they thought they were going to win, and they didn't win, and they choked and something, and it wasn't good, and it's no different than sports or anything else. But I used to say, I said, why aren't you, like, on the talk shows? And why aren't you going to Jay Leno and to Letterman and to all of the shows that were on at the time? And Obama, whether you like it or not, he did all of that. And he ended up winning an election that should never, ever in a million years have been won. Should never have been won. And we don't want to see that happen again. You just can't let that happen again. You just can't. It's just too much. And one of the reporters, a nice reporter, actually, from the Register, said, well, you know, Mitt was a wealthy guy, and it didn't really resonate with the voters. And what do you think about that, Mr. Trump? Do you think you'll resonate with the voters? Now, I looked and I said, what do you mean he's wealthy? I have a store that's worth more than him, which was crazy. And I said that off the record. And the reporter was very nice, actually, and said to me, Mr. Trump, you got to do me a favor. What? Could I use that quote? Do you mind if I use that quote? And I said, you know what? I don't care. Use it. Who cares? What difference does it make? And it ends up being a headline in the Des Moines Register. Trump says the Gucci store, it's the Gucci on Fifth Avenue, is worth more than Romney. And then the next day they call me. And this is the press. And they were going to do a big hit on me because they said, ho, 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 I'll bet you that store's not worth $1 million. And therefore, Trump, let's say Mitt is at 200. And therefore, Trump is just not telling the truth. So I said, well, I don't know exactly what it's worth, but it's worth a lot. It's the best location there is probably in the world. The Ginza Strip was second. That's in Japan. And I said, it's the best location. And I have the best block. And I have the right side of the street. And I have the best corner. And I'm next to Tiffany. It's worth a lot. They said, well, we don't think it's anywhere near 200. I said, well, have you checked? No, but we're going to. And they went out and they started calling or retaining or doing something with different real estate people in Manhattan. And they end up writing a story. It's worth $400 million to $1.4 billion. Do you believe that? Can you believe that? And I said, see, I'm telling you, I do tell the truth. I happen to be a truthful person. And you saw the... Actually, when I saw the story, Chuck loved it. He thought it was great. But when I saw it, I said, I'm not sure I like that, sir, because they, you know, that was the whole thing. The headline was all about that, as opposed to other things like what, how bad Obamacare is and a million other things that I spoke about. But Chuck actually liked it, and he turned out to be right. Because the next day, they did a story, and they said, he's right. I like that. When the newspapers do that. But a couple of the things I said today, and I mean it so, so strongly, we don't have victory in this country anymore. We don't. When was the last time we had a victory? We don't win against China in trade. We don't win against Mexico. At the border, certainly, I mean, they're sending everybody over, just walking through like it's water, like it's a sieve. And they're killing us, by the way, economically, just killing us. We don't win with Japan, which has now got a real leader, and they're knocking the hell out of the yen, the currency, and making it very, very hard to, just very, very hard to compete. I tell the story about a friend of mine recently who's a big excavator. He's an excavating contractor, very big. And he always bought Caterpillar tractors, always bought Caterpillar. And he calls me up a number of weeks ago, and he said, you know, Donald, I feel so badly. Why? Well, I just put in a big order of tractors. I said, did you buy Cats? He said, no, I bought Komatsu. And Komatsu, it's fine. It's a good tractor. I know it well. He said it was impossible for Caterpillar to compete because Japan has brought down the yen, their currency, to such a low level. And I owe it to my family and my company and my employees. And I had no choice, and I ordered all Komatsu tractors. And I said, that's emblematic what's happening to our country. And we have nobody to stop Japan from doing that. And we have nobody to stop China from doing that. And Mexico's becoming the new China as far as the United States is concerned. Auto plants are opening up all over Mexico. They're making cars not for Mexico. They're making the cars for the United States. They take Mexican labor. We spend money in Mexico. The United States gets nothing. There's no tax at the border. There's no anything. In fact, I had an idea. In Mexico, you could take the cars and trucks, and we could have the illegals drive them right through the border into our country, and then they can disappear. It's true. It's true. And that'll probably be next. They'll be thinking about that. It's terrible what's happening. We have leadership that's incompetent. We have people that are incompetent. And I have nothing against Mexico or China or Japan. I said today, you know, when was the last time you saw an American car in Tokyo? When did you ever see a Chevrolet in Tokyo? Do you think there's such a thing as a Chevrolet in Tokyo? And yet they send their cars over by literally the millions over a period of time, by the millions. And we're foolish. You look at our deficits, you look at our deficits with countries, individual countries. So all of that has to be renegotiated. And politicians don't have a clue. And even if they do, they're controlled by lobbyists, they're controlled by donors, and they're controlled by special interests. And I say it all the time, politicians are all talk, no action. Whether it's Benghazi or the email mess with Hillary, you know, they're so indignant. I'm almost more disappointed in Republican politicians and even the people running for office. And I watch them all the time. They say the sun will rise, the moon will set. I mean, they walk around on the stage talking about the sun, the moon, the rain, the weather. I say people just want a job. They want a job. They want people that know what they're doing. And you know. But I tell the story about the Komatsu tractors because that's really where it's at. We've lost our manufacturing, not because of the product, because we make a better product, but you just can't do it. I ordered 4,000 televisions recently. Can't buy them in this country. It's all in South Korea. And yet South Korea, they make a fortune, but we protect them. We have thousands of soldiers there. We spend fortunes. Every time they start getting a little bit rugged, you know, like we're going to blast South Korea off the planet, we start up those battleships, those destroyers, we start up those aircraft carriers, we get our aircraft ready, we head over there. It costs us millions of dollars. You know, when you turn on one of those aircraft carriers, you go like this, it's about $1 million down the tubes. So you ordered 4,000 televisions. That's from South Korea. They have LG. They have Samsung. They have all of them. And it's not like we make them. They're making a fortune. We get nothing. We get nothing. I like them. They're very nice people. We get nothing. Saudi Arabia makes $1 billion a day. Think of it. That's big money, seriously. Even for Trump, that's a lot of money. They make $1 billion a day with their oil. You look at Yemen. Now, I've called a lot of things right, including a lot of deals right and a lot of markets right. And I'm good at that. I like it. I have an instinct. I really think I have an instinct. Maybe I shouldn't talk about it because, you know, when you start talking too much about your instinct, all of a sudden you don't have the instinct anymore. But I have called that right. There was a story in Reuters. In fact, I had it in the kit today for the press to see. There was a story in Reuters from 2004 that said Trump said essentially, stay out of Iraq. At the time, people hit me a little bit. The Bush administration sent an envoy to see me. Like, can I cool it? You know, because I said, you're making a terrible mistake. Now, first of all, I have to tell you, and the colonel will know this, I am the biggest guy for military on the planet. I want to take care of our vets. I helped create the Vietnam Memorial in New York. And to this day, you know, I've done a lot of buildings. I've done a lot of things. And I get a lot of credit for the ice rink in Central Park. And I've never been so thanked as the Vietnam War Memorial that I was really working with a good group of guys. But I was very responsible for that in Lower Manhattan. And every time, if I'm on the street, which isn't that often, unfortunately, I like to be on the street more. But the vets come up to me and they say, thank you so much, the Vietnam vets, because they have been treated badly. But all vets are treated badly. They're treated like second and third class citizens. And it's disgusting because there are great, great heroes. These are great people and we have to treat them good. And that's going to happen. So I look at what we're doing, and I'm looking at different things on television and watching, and I see what's going on with Iraq. And I said in 2004, don't do it. And it's literally identical to what happened. I mean, you've got to get it. I'd give it to you. I'm proud of it because I love predicting what's going to happen, even if it's, in this case, was catastrophic. I said, if you do it, you will knock out Iraq. Iran will take over the Middle East. You will destabilize the Middle East. And lots of bad people, we didn't have a name called ISIS at that time, will end up taking over the oil. But nobody listened to me, and that's fine. You know, they have to make up their decisions. They have to make up their mind. And they went ahead. And they then totally destabilized the Middle East. It's a mess. It's a mess like there's never been. And ISIS came out of that mess. Now, I will say this. Once they destabilized, at once, and you have to understand, Iraq and Iran, for just forever, they've been going like this, 10 feet this way, 10 feet that way. This is for years and years and decades, and just boom. You know, they use the gas, they use all sorts of horrible things, but it was just a little bit one way or the other. Then they get tired, they go away for 5 years, and then they start fighting again. Well, we decapitated one of those sides. So the Middle East got just shattered, and that's what happened. A lot of bad decisions. Not only by Obama, but then Obama made the bad decision of getting out. It's almost, we shouldn't have been there, but once we were there, we shouldn't have left so easily. Shouldn't have left. And if you remember, and now I am the one that said, don't go in. But then we were there, and I said, look, if we're going to be there, there is no Iraq. And you see that with what's going on with the Humvees. 2,300 Humvees lost. We give them to the... Do you know how many that is? And I said today, maybe we'll lose one or two. How do you lose 2,300? So we supply our so-called ally. And it's not that they don't have guts. They don't care because they're not fighting for anything that they care about. There essentially is no Iraq. There is no Iraq. And it's very sad because all of the money, think of it, $2 trillion, thousands of great young people killed and wounded warriors all over. And these are great people. These are amazing. I work with them a lot. These are unbelievable people. They left for a place and they come home and they're missing arms and legs and worse. And we have nothing. We have nothing. And today, the big headline coming over, I see, is that Iraq is meeting with Iran as we speak. They're meeting with Iran. Iran's going to take over Iraq. But they'll never have to fire a shot. So I was right about that. But if you remember, and I've been saying it on many of the shows over the last 4 or 5 years, I said, listen, when we leave, it's going to be a disaster. Because somebody thought that it was going to be like a wonderful democracy. They're going to go in ballots. They're going to vote for these people. It's a different world. It's a different world. But I said, when we leave, keep the oil. Did anybody ever hear me say that over the years? I said, keep the oil. And certain people say, oh, that's terrible for him to say that. He's a terrible human being. Think how terrible that is. Keep the oil. That's a sovereign country. Sovereign country. It's a mess. Keep the oil. You know who has the oil now? ISIS has the oil. ISIS. ISIS has the oil. And ISIS is rich. And what we should do right now is go blast the hell out of that oil. That's what we should do. Thank you. And I've been saying this, you know, for better stuff in there very quickly. They're amazing. But you go in there, you blast the hell out of them. You kill the devil at the head. You kill the devil at the head. You take away its money. They have so much money. ISIS has so much money. And by the way, Iran is taking over the rest. They're taking over the rest. We got nothing. Trillions, thousands of lives, wounded wars. We got nothing. And it was exactly what I said was going to happen in that article from 2004. So they've been putting a lot of pressure on me. Oh, you don't really know. You're just saying that. I said, all right. So tonight I'm doing Bill O'Reilly, right? It's on. I like Bill O'Reilly. No, he's a sharp guy. He is. He's great. And he would say, come on, you got to tell me, come on. I said, you know, it's time. I got to really say it. I can't keep saying, I don't want to tell you, because if I win, I want to. Because obviously it's not as good now as it would have been if they didn't know this, right? We agree? General George Patton and General MacArthur are spinning in their grave every time they hear President Obama announce exactly what we're doing. Spinning in their grave. You know, when they got that upper mid-level accounting person the other day, instead of being quiet about it and waiting a year and getting 50 of them, they made such a big deal out of it that all the other people that they were looking to get all flee and they're all over the place and just be quiet. Just be quiet. But they can't do that. The colonel knows what I'm talking about. They can't do that because they're politicians. Politicians. They're killing this country. They're killing it. So I said, instead of going in and fighting like crazy for the towns and the all the areas, and I said, simple. Actually, Bill O'Reilly actually said to me, huh, that's pretty good for Bill. You know, Bill's not easy. He's a smart guy. He goes, wait till you see the reaction. You'll go home, watch it later. He sort of, I think, liked it. You know, he doesn't want to play his cards. He's better than Obama at playing cards, believe me. But I said, knock the hell out of those 4 or 5 primary places. You take away the oil, you take away the wealth, you take away the money. They're building a hotel now in Syria. ISIS is building a hotel. Do you believe they're in the hotel business? They're competing with me. And they get their money from the oil. They get so much money. Kill the oil. And it's easier than going into these cities that have been taken over. And when you get there, what do you have? Nothing. What do you have? You retake a city. By the time you're back, I mean, it's going back and forth. You got no building stand. You got holes in every building that are 5 feet. I mean, you got nothing. You go in and take the oil. We should have never given it up. They should have listened to me. Never given it up. And if they didn't give it up, if they didn't give it up, you wouldn't have ISIS right now. ISIS is wealthy. And we can take that wealth away from them. And believe me, it's easier than what these idiots are planning. They want to go in and attack this area, attack that. When they get it, they don't have anything. Take the oil. So we have an incompetent president. We have politicians controlled by all the wrong people, including special interests. And I'm running for president as a businessman that doesn't need money. I don't need campaign contributions. I don't need money to fly in. I fly in very nicely. You'd all be impressed, actually. Even I'm impressed. I would have never thought this was going to happen. But I don't need money. And when I tell Ford to go back to the United States and not build their $2.5 billion plant in Mexico, and when I tell other people to do other things, and when I tell Japan to stop devaluing their currency so that Caterpillar and our companies can compete, and when I tell China that if you don't start behaving, we're going to throw a tariff on you like you throw on us, because, you know, I don't know if you know, but China, it's a one-way street. It's a one-way street. China is taxing us. And I told that story today, so most of you heard it, but a friend of mine can't get his product in there. They end up sending it back, and then he goes back, and they end up being, they don't call it a tax, they call it a tariff. You know, it sounds better, right? In the meantime, they send their stuff. And by the way, I buy a lot of Chinese product. And the reason is because what they do to, it's like my friend with the Komatsu. I run a big business. I want to do right for myself, for my family, for my employees, for everybody. But it's unfair what they do. And the thing that's unfair is that their leaders are smarter than our leaders. That's the only thing. You know, I'm a big free trader. I believe in free trade. The problem with free trade, one problem, you need smart leaders. You need people that know what they do. You can't have incompetent leaders. This trade pact is a disaster. Now, I said it was no good for a different reason. Now they're starting to think about it. But I said, you can't approve this trade pact. And by the way, so far it hasn't been approved. Sort of interesting. But they're going back for second cracks. For a number of reasons. Number one, Obama's a lousy negotiator. Terrible. Number two, you know, you look at negotiator, Bergdahl. Everyone knows Bergdahl? We get a traitor named Sergeant Bergdahl. Six people killed trying to get him back. Killed. Killed. Not wounded, not hurt a little bit. Killed. Going after him. Six people, as of today, killed trying to get him back. We get this traitor named Sergeant Bergdahl, and they get five terrorist leaders, killers, who are trying to kill us all right now. They're all back on the battlefield. Who makes deals like this? Who would do it? And they knew about Bergdahl before the deal was made, came out. They sent generals and colonels, and I mean, either that or they're really dumb. But they knew about it because the soldiers all knew about it. And the soldiers said, yeah, I spoke to the colonel, I spoke to the general, I told him. That was all before the deal. And they still made the deal. So I call Obama the 5-for-1 president. That's the kind of a deal we have. So we get the shaft on every deal. Now, I said the deal's no good because they're not covering currency manipulation. And that's how China and Japan and most of these countries, that's their single greatest weapon. They covered other things, but they didn't cover the big weapon is currency manipulation. Now, China was pretty much finished, I thought, about 2 years ago with their manipulation of the currency. But then what happened is, with all the problems the United States has, how about GDP, gross domestic product? Last week, it went below zero. That's impossible. You look at these other countries, they're up 6, 7, 8 points, 12 points, 11 points. GDP is below zero. That means we're becoming smaller. Because our jobs aren't here. Our manufacturing is here. It's going to a lot of other countries. Not only China, a lot of other countries. Everybody that deals with us beats us. Because we have political hacks, and we have people that make campaign contributions, and they get jobs. And that's what we have. And with these other countries, they use their best, their smartest, their finest, their toughest, their meanest, their best negotiators. We don't have a chance. So I said, I'm running for president. Because, you know, I've made a lot of money with China. I bet, I tell you what, I've made a fortune beating China. I beat them. I own the Bank of America building, a big chunk. I made some great deals with China. And you can beat them. They're very beatable. By the way, they can't believe they get away with it. You know, I have a lot of friends that are from China. I sell apartments for millions and millions of dollars. Am I supposed to dislike them? I have a lot of friends that are from China. They can't believe they get away. You know, they tell me, Donald, I don't believe that we're getting away. They didn't know I was going to be running for president when they said this, by the way. But they can't believe. So I respect them. I think it's good. They're just, you know, we just need the right people. We can make our country great again. Now, my whole theme is make America great again. It's very simple. Make America great again. We can make America great again. We have this enormous group of people. We have enormous potential. But we can't do it unless we have the right people leading us. When you look at the southern border and you look at people pouring in by the hundreds of thousands, and I said it today and somebody said, oh, that's not nice. I said, of course, it's common sense. I met border guards recently. It was a wedding at one of my clubs. You know, whenever anyone gets married, if I'm around the club, I go. Because everyone's happy. I'm happy. They're happy. And two of the people at the wedding were border guards. I mean, the real deal border guards. They were actually, like, right along the border, the southern border. And I said, this is great. This is much better than seeing the bride. I don't know who the hell the bride is. I'm seeing the bride. Great. She's beautiful. Wonderful. I was actually more interested in the border guards. Can you believe it? And these two were rough guys. They were rough-looking guys, good-looking, strong, rough guys. And I said, how bad is it? They said, bad, Mr. Trump. It's really bad. And I said, what kind of people are coming over? And this is really common sense, if you think about it. They said, we're getting really bad people. Now, think of it. If you're Mexico, you're not sending your best people over here. You're not sending, you know, the happily married couple that lives down the street that is wonderful. We're getting killers. We're getting drug dealers. We're getting rapists. And we're also getting, I'm sure, some good people. But these guys laid out a scenario to me that was really bad. And they come into this country. We don't send them back. And we got to live with them. They don't only come from Mexico, by the way. They come from all over South America and Latin America. And they probably can start coming from the Middle East. So we are just being hurt so badly. And I say, I would build a wall bigger, better, stronger than any wall. Nobody comes in illegally. And I build great buildings. Believe me, I'll build the greatest wall, and I'll do it under budget and ahead of schedule. And I'll have Mexico pay for it. I'll have Mexico pay. I watched a couple of really stupid people today. They were talking about the wall and, you know, like George Will types. This George Will is the worst. And he's stupid. But they were talking about different aspects. You can't get them to do that. And one of the groups was saying, you can't get Mexico to pay. How foolish of Mr. Trump to think that Mexico, they're making a fortune with us. We could cut them off. They'd be in such trouble. They're making a fortune. And I'm watching this stupid person on television today saying how bad I am. Although they did say I was brilliant. That was good. That did solve all other problems. But they're saying how bad I am. And can you imagine? He said Mexico is going to pay. How stupid is that? Trust me, folks. They'll pay. They'll pay. So, in a nutshell, I'm running for president. If I win, we will guaranteed, make America great again. We will build up our military. We will take care of our vets better than anybody takes care of their vets. We will repeal Obamacare and replace it with something much better for everybody. And we're going to have a great country again. It's very simple. Very simple. So I love being with you folks. Let's do some questions, right? Let's go. Question. They can be vicious, violent. You can do anything. Say whatever the hell you want. Let's go. And I think you're in live television all over the place. They say there's live television here. It's all over. But who cares? Okay. Probably keep your language down to a minimum. Look at him. He said a bad word every once in a while in his life, right? Keep that bad language down to a minimum because you are live all over the place. Okay, go ahead.
I appreciate your willingness to tell the truth and speak out and say the right things. And I'm on board with everything that you've said tonight. But for me, the basic problem in this country is we are murdering our babies wholesale. And doing that and continuing that, God is not going to bless this country again. And I want to know your view on that subject.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm pro-life. I am pro-life. So. Good point. And you know, one other thing that they don't know about me, nobody believes this. I'm Presbyterian. I'm Protestant. Presbyterian. First Presbyterian Church, Jamaica, New York. Do you believe that? Nobody thinks that. I don't know what they think. Nobody thinks of me as the ultimate wasp, but I am. Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Back there. Go ahead with that beautiful red blouse on. Well, I think we should do trade. I think we should keep doing trade. I think we're going to do it in such a way. A lot of people are opposed to it. I want what's good for trade. I am a big free trader, but I want what's good for trade. But most importantly, I want what's smart for our country. Okay? Thank you. Okay. How about right here? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. This is fun, isn't it? I love this. It's like a little town hall with a lot of people, about 1,000 people, but it's a little town hall. Go ahead.
Mr. Trump.
Yes.
You're not fired. You are hired to be our next president of the United States of America.
That's very nice. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. See, right there, you know, it's a very interesting point, and I appreciate your statement. But I give up a lot when I run. You know, these politicians give up nothing. They run. They lose. They win. You got these people. They're losing elections. Now they decide to run for president. Many of them have lost elections. I said, wait a minute. She lost. He lost. How do you run for office? They lose by huge margins. I won't say who, but they lose by they lose by these massive margins. And then, oh, that's okay. Now I'll run for president. I say, what's going on here? It's not supposed to work that way. You know, when I gave the statement today, everybody said, man, that guy did well. And I didn't do that to brag. And it's all going to be certified. It's going to be put into whatever it is that it's put into with the government. But I didn't do that to brag. I did that to say that that's the kind of thinking that we need in the country. That's it. We need that kind of thinking. But I'll give you an example. I do this, and I'm running. But I'm losing hundreds of millions of dollars in lost opportunity with deals. Even The Apprentice. You know, The Apprentice was a tremendous success. Great ratings last season. NBC renewed it. And they say, Donald, please, please do it. I say, I can't. I'm doing this. They say, please do it. They renewed it. And Mark Burnett called me. He goes, Donald, they gave you a renewal for many, many, many episodes. a big renewal. You're turning it down. Nobody turns down a renewal. And you look at it, big stars in Hollywood want to be renewed. Very few are renewed. Most shows fail. The Apprentice, 12 years, 15 copies of The Apprentice, and every one of them failed. They renewed it. And I'm running for president. I said, no, I can't do it. I'm sorry. Who does this? I give up a lot. These politicians give up nothing. I watched Jeb Bush yesterday. He can't even put on a tie and jacket. He's running for president. I don't know. Maybe he knows something that I don't know. Maybe I should take it off because I want to be one of everybody, right? You know what? You're running for president. Maybe you put on a tie. Maybe you put on a jacket. I don't know. I mean, I thought it was ridiculous. But think of Jeb Bush. So he's totally in favor of Common Core. Terrible. No. He wants some bureaucrat in Washington that just wants a check to watch over your children in Iowa or New Hampshire or New York or California or wherever. And some of them, I'm sure, are very caring people. But many of them are not. They just want their money. And I'll tell you what, I look at the folks in this room. You folks are a lot better at education and watching and seeing what's good for your kids than somebody sitting in Washington, D.C. getting a big fat paycheck. So Jeb Bush is strongly in favor of Common Core. Now, I'll give him credit. He sticks to it. Most guys, you know, don't. Like Rubio. Rubio was really weak on immigration. His poll numbers plummeted, and all of a sudden he said, oh, I'm very strong in him. Well, you know where he is. I think he's a highly rated person. And by the way, I have better hair than he does, believe me. Okay, and it is my hair. But also, Jeb Bush is very weak on immigration. He's weak on immigration. So how do you win if you're weak on immigration, you're in favor of Common Core, and you're coming to a place like Iowa or New Hampshire where it all begins, or South Carolina? How do you win? I don't think you win. And, you know, he's raised a lot of money. And by the way, every single one of those people that are putting up money wants something, just so you understand. They want something. Every one of those people, they want ambassadorships, they want deals, they want this. So these guys aren't free to do the right thing. They're not free to say, I got to do what's right for the country. They can't do what's right for the country. They got to do what's right for the people that gave them money to get elected. It's true. Yes, sir. Yes.
Do you scrap the VA and privatize it?
It's certainly something we have to consider. I'll tell you what, the VA is a disaster. They built a hospital, it's like over $1 billion. For a hospital, it looks like nothing. Over $1 billion. I'm building a big hotel. Can you believe I got the old post office in Washington? From Obama. I must be a good negotiator because I got it from Obama. One of the most highly sought after in the history of the GSA properties. And I'm building a tremendous hotel, super luxury hotel, best in Washington's history, probably one of the best in the country, one of the best in the world. I'm under budget and ahead of schedule. It's going to be incredible. It's going to open way early and under budget. I looked at a couple of these hospitals where they have numbers that are so mind-boggling, and I said, I could do it for, it's no different than the rink in Central Park. I could do it for a tiny fraction of, and it would be nicer. Somebody said, well, but it won't be the same. I said, you're right, it'll be much better. So the vets are, we have to work on that, and we would work on that. That would be one of the priorities that I would have, because the vets are treated so badly. So one of the things you can think of is getting them to private doctors, where you have a doctor right next to their house. I have one case in New Hampshire where the people have to travel like a day to get to the place. And then they wait for 3 or 4 days in a waiting room. And I say, man, that must be hell. Think of it. Put yourself in a position like that. You probably have things maybe a little bit like that here. But the vets are treated terribly. And, you know, without the vets, we're not here. Good.
Hearing, and it comes from some information that was published approximately.
You can grab the mic. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He has a nice voice. He doesn't need a mic. Go ahead.
I'm used to speaking in public.
Oh, that's so much better. Go ahead.
One of the things that was published about a year ago is about the difference between what a welfare recipient receives in total cash and benefits and then versus what a disabled veteran receives, a 100% disabled veteran receives. The difference is the welfare recipient receives between 2.5 and 4 times as much as a disabled veteran does. And you got to think about it. The disabled veteran earned his benefits. The welfare recipient did not.
I agree.
What are you going to do to fix it?
I agree. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's unfair. It's wrong. You don't even have to respond to a question like that, although yours was a statement. Yeah. I think it should be a statement. Mm-hmm. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Okay. Next question. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Well, there's so many of them. I mean, you know, it's interesting. What I'm doing is very interesting because actually today on some of the slightly liberal channels, I was getting great comments about what I said this morning in New York. And I said to people, what are you fighting for? Because, you know, sometimes we disagree because we're conservative and we're Republican conservative and some of us are very strong conservatives and we disagree. But in the end, I said to him, listen, take it easy, relax. I just want to make America great again. I have to add the word again. It was great. Right now, we owe $18 trillion. We got nothing but problems. We got problems with Russia. Putin can't stand this. Putin's using the N-word being nuclear. I mean, he said a couple of weeks ago, you better be careful with us. We have nuclear weapons. After watching a report on 60 Minutes, that talked about how obsolete our weapons are. They don't even think the telephones work. Now, honestly, if I were Obama, and he's the one that wanted that story to get out because he wanted to get some funding. Can you believe it? What does that say to the enemy? That says this is the time. I mean, it's so bad. It's so stupid. But we have obsolete. We don't even know if they work. And this is all over the place on 60 Minutes. And it was put out, they say, by the administration. So it's terrible. So there are a lot of lies going. But, you know, the one thing I do, I just say, hey, you know, they'll hit me on this or that. I say, hey, I'm just really good at fixing things and making things good and making things better. I buy Doral in Miami. It was a mess. Now it's the hottest resort or among the hottest resorts in the world. It's hot. It's great. I fixed it. I made it better. A man at Doral who was a member there for a long time, it's phenomenal. The Blue Monster, I rebuilt it. I blew everything up and just rebuilt it. It's fantastic. Got it for the right price, by the way. That allowed me to do the rest. But a member came up, and I thought it was really sort of beautiful the way he said it. He said, you know, Mr. Trump, I was a member here, and the place was really going bad. It was tired. It was old. It was rotting. It was really in bad shape. Everyone made money with it, the Wall Street geniuses, and they made money and flipped it and flipped it. And it's like musical chairs. Then one day, they bought it up here, and they flipped it down here. That's when I got it. And he said, you know, what you did here, it's incredible. Brand new, gorgeous, great reviews. He said, what you did here is what should happen with our country. And we can do that. We can do that. But we don't know what we're doing, and we have the wrong people. So there are many lies, and sometimes you wonder why the lies are so drastic, but there are many lies. I mean, global warming is becoming crazy, where Obama says it's our number one threat. Here we have Putin talking about nuclear weapons, and he's worried about global warming. No, it's serious. So there are many lies. There are many lies. But many of the people are bad people that lie. They do it for their own economic gain or gain in some form that we wouldn't even know about. But many of those people aren't bad people. They're real believers. And I tell people, look, if you are a believer, we're going to make this country really great. And some of those people come over to my side, believe it or not, because it's a simple message. It really is a simple message. Yes, sir.
You're... Your Your slogan is Make America Great Again. Two things made America great. One, and the foremost, is that we're one nation under God. But the second is that we did something different that has never been done before, and that is that we became a republic. And too often, the lack of education in this country, we're losing our U.S. history, and we are turning into a democracy, which our forefathers never wanted. You, as a president of the United States, what are you going to do to restore our republic?
Well, you know, you said something that was interesting, because you mentioned the word education. So we're number one in the world per capita, per student, at spending money. We're number 26 in the world at being good. In other words, we have 25 countries that are ahead of us that spend much less. Some spend no money. And a lot of things start with education. And we have a lot of great people. You know, Common Core is a problem, because you look at that Department of Education building. I look at that, I say, would I like to turn that into a nice office building? You know, it's a real estate. Ooh. This thing is massive. It's massive. So you know Common Core is no good, because we're led by those people in education, right? So you said to yourself, why are we fighting? And why is a guy like Bush so strong on Common Core when it's obviously not working? So we have 25 nations ahead of us, and yet we're number one by far, not even close, in spending per student. Education is very important. You understand that, okay? Yes, sir. Who do we have over there? Go ahead. Yes. The question is about the student loan debt. Well, you know, the only thing that comes... Actually, give him the mic. You can give him the mic. Such a good-looking young man.
Thanks, Mr. Trump.
Were you affected? Are you affected by student loan debt?
Luckily, I got lots of scholarships, so no.
That's good. Scholarships in what? What are you, a football player or a wrestler?
I'm a runner.
You must be a wrestler. I love Iowa wrestlers. They're great. They're the best. They are. Dan Gable. I'll tell you, these guys are great. They are tough cookies. What do you do? Why did you get a scholarship?
I'm a distance runner and an academic.
Very good. Very impressive. Go ahead. Give me the question.
I just want to know if you think the student loan debt bubble is going to burst.
I think the whole economy is a bubble.
And what can we do about it?
I mean, we have a false stock market, which benefited me, in all fairness. You had to be an idiot not to buy. But we have a false stock market, and we have artificially induced low interest rates. And I'll tell you, the people that get hurt was the middle class. The middle class is being decimated. You know, the people that did it right, the people that saved every week out of their paycheck, and that put $10 away and $20 at the end of 30, 40 years, they're so proud of themselves. And then you had the mortgage crisis, and you had lots of other problems. And then you have the artificially low interest rates. And these people were living off interest, and they were fine. And now you're getting a quarter of 1%. You call the bank. What are you giving? Well, we really don't want your money even. We don't even want it. Those are the people. Those are the people that did it right, in theory. And those are the people that are hurt the most. When you say student loan, let me tell you, one of the only programs the government actually makes money on is the student loan program. You know that. The government makes a lot of money on that. And in many respects, that's a shame. It's sort of all the things that they could make money, that's the one you'd like to least see it happen. But you do have a bubble there, but you have a real bubble. You have a much bigger bubble with the country itself. The country is a big, fat bubble run by incompetent people, and it's ready to burst. And people better be careful. Okay, how about we'll do two more? Thank you. Good question. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Property where? Oh, poverty. I thought you said property. There's a big difference. Look, we got to take care of people, but we also have to get people to go out of work. People have to go work. Okay? Good question. Go ahead, son.
Wasteful government spending.
You got plenty of it. Wasteful, he said, he's concerned about wasteful government spending. You got plenty of it. You got to be very concerned. You should have white hair by now.
I am.
All right, go ahead.
Pork barreling is a term that I learned recently, and it just kind of refers to the idea of how big donors get rewarded with government projects and public contracts.
That's what happens, yep.
What do you think about the idea of publicly financed campaigns in order to try to curtail that kind of activity?
I think it's fine, but, you know, it's the least of our problems. It's not a big problem. Is that a big problem? Is you're talking about the much bigger amounts of money that are being taken from us. They're being taken like we're babies by other countries. That's why your Social Security is in such trouble. That's why Medicare and Medicaid are in such trouble. Not to mention the theft and abuse and all of that that goes on, which we all know we have to stop that. But the big money, the really big money, has to do with what's happening to us on trade. We're losing our jobs, we're losing our base, we're losing our manufacturing. And then they're giving us their money to pay them interest. I mean, the whole thing is insane. That's the real problem. But certainly we can think about different forms of campaign finance laws. But that's not the biggest problem we have. Okay, how about one other question, a really vicious, violent...
How do you beat Hillary?
If you don't have the right candidate, you're not going to beat Hillary. You know, she's playing the woman card really big. I watched her the other day, and she was doing all she would talk about is women, women. I'm a woman. I'm going to be the youngest woman in the White House, and I'm not going to have white hair. I'm going to dye my hair blonde. And I mean, she's going crazy. She can be beaten. She's got a lot of bad things happening. But again, if you look, the Republicans came out, one day of indignation on emails. It's over. Have you heard about emails in the last 3 weeks? It's not mentioned. Because they give up. The Republic. You know, with the Democrats, we know what we have. I'm more disappointed with the Republican people. Because they're gutless, and they don't have it. And let me tell you, so the people running against me, can you explain it? Can you explain it? You know, it's interesting. So there was a time when they wanted to impeach Obama. Okay, so you impeach Obama. But there was a time when they wanted to impeach Obama. And I'm not even saying you should do that, because I don't know if this is impeachable stuff. But I'll never forget. Obama's people spread the word. He wants to be impeached because he can look so good. Right? He wants to be impeached. And the Republicans said, oh, we can't impeach him because he wants to be impeached. Who the hell wants to be impeached? So the Republicans didn't impeach him. And I'm not saying you should have, frankly. But they didn't impeach him because they were convinced that it would be bad for them because it would make him look at, give me a break. Oh, these people. But the Republicans over the last few years, you understand it. That's why you shouted out that question very brilliantly. The Republicans over the last few years had three opportunities to really do some big damage to get rid of Obamacare or at least make it much better. You got to really repeal it. It's a disaster. Website, $5 billion, and it still doesn't work. I tell people, I have so many websites. I get some people. You know, a little while ago, I said, I get some young people. And people said, oh, that's discriminatory. Okay, so I don't say that anymore. I just get people. And you learn. I don't care if they're young, they're old. They create a website. Cost me $3. Cost me nothing. How do you spend $5 billion on a website? But Hillary can be beaten. You got to go to the emails. You got to go to the foundation. You got to go to a lot of different things. And I will tell you, in my opinion, and I see them all, and I see them all the time, there's nobody that's going to beat her except Donald Trump. Good luck, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Great. Thank you very much.